Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. TJ Pittenger, Brendan Sinone, and Ben Koch back with you guys again. Excited about tonight's episode. It's like a preview of TJ month. TJ month will happen in 2 weeks, but this is a preview of it because we're reviewing a whiskey of mine. So this would have been in TJ month, but Brendan ruined
it wasn't.
That for me.
Spoiler alert.
I would have given it a 3 out of 10.
You would not know what it was because I wouldn't have shown the bottle like you did.
Still 3.
If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, wherever, however you're consuming this incredible content, please do us a favor and hit the retweet button, hit the share button. If you're on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, I'm sorry, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, hit the share button, share it to your social media. We would certainly appreciate it. Let's jump into the show. Hey, we're going to have a little bit different format during the summer, Brendan. You want to tell the people about what we've got going on here?
Yeah, just because we'll be doing scheduling stuff a little differently. I'm trying to limit my alcohol intake for the next few months, trying to get in shape a little bit here and there. And TJ may have possibly had a baby boy. So let's give a round of applause for TJ. TJ, is the baby yours? Are we confident on this?
I had a joke for that.
He looks like the milkman.
I'm not going to tell it right now. I'll tell it after. We'll put that on the OnlyFans.
That's Patreon. It's Patreon.
Yeah. You know, the whole milkman joke, Ben's like, not like we kind of know what it is because maybe like our parents knew who the milkman was, but like TJ's kid's not going to be able to make a milkman joke like in 20 years from now. It's not going to be a thing.
The Amazon man. It'll be the Amazon.
Yeah, the Amazon man.
And the UPS.
What a UPS guy at my house with how much bourbon gets delivered.
I think I've seen a video like that once.
The other thing is though, like everybody works from home now, so like there really won't even be that.
Oh, right? I wonder Fidelity or Infidelity.
It'll be the office lady. Down. Just change things up.
That's a really good question. I don't want to talk about that, but I mean, that just seems like a weird
thing. Summer months. So yeah, the next couple months we'll just be doing one episode a week. It'll be a review, but it may meander a little bit here and there to kind of fit in some other topics. We'll still do pursuits and purchases, and if there's anything huge, like if we get a bottle of Pappy or something like that, and TJ wants to share it with us,
that usually happens on most weekdays.
We'll do like an emergency episode. So yeah, that'll be the format.
Just add it to that week's episode. Whatever. So yeah, a little bit less, but when fall comes around, we are certainly cranking it back up. Probably going
rank
to
on back up.
Rank them back up. I don't know what I'm saying here, but okay. So for tonight, first week of the new format, we're going to do a review, and Brendan was gracious enough to
ask you to be gracious enough to share.
Brendan was gracious enough to drink my whiskey. So that was cool. Now, Brendan said, let's do something special for you. Yeah. As he alluded to, as he mentioned, we did welcome a new, member to the family, Lincoln Thomas, born on Thursday afternoon. We now have 3 in this family, which makes podcasting a little crazier, but most of them are sleeping at this point. Lincoln's not, but the other ones are. So it's getting crazy over here. We might just end up dropping them off at Ben's house one day and never coming back. Unfortunately, we live really close, so I feel like they could find their way.
Yeah, we
back
figure
over
it
here,
out.
Unfortunately, but excited
I'll
to
send
review
down
this
the
time.
I'll send him down the ravine like Moses.
Let him float. No water in it.
I'll let him float sit. Back to you.
It would just sit. There's no water in it. Yeah. I'll let Farrell find him. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So first night review tonight. Something a little bit different. Something new. A good times. Toasted rye. That's right. R-Y-E.
America. Good job.
In honor of the dad thing. And we love a good dad joke. Kara's got Elena saying that now. Like I'll say something and Elena will go, we love a good dad joke.
I thought you were implying that she was making rye jokes. And I was like, that's got to go over great.
That's pretty next level.
Speaking of that, hey, Brendan, remind me at the end of the review because I want to get off topic. Because I hate that.
Yeah, you hate.
Yeah.
Mandarin.
I want to talk about that show that I was watching the other night, Brendan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I haven't heard about it yet.
Look at you. Okay. Good Times Rye. This is a single barrel rye, straight rye whiskey, finished it in toasted white oak barrels. It's a Good Times. So it is a distilled in Indiana. Very likely MGP juice. There's not a lot of details on this, and I didn't look it up because I suck.
It is a Kentucky distillery, but they do source, so you're probably correct in it being MGP. Yeah,
bottled by Whiskey Thief Distilling Company, Frankfort, Kentucky. And then this bottle is, we talked about this at one point, like on a Pursuits and Purchases. This is like the ode to the Kobe bottle, right? Or like the ode to Kobe, right? Like, so it's got, for those of you who can't see it, it's a little bit tough because I got the blur on. I think that's Tim Duncan and KG and Michael Jordan. And it's kind of like his Hall of Fame induction. So 24, 8, the 5 trophies, Kobe holding up the Basketball Hall of Fame. Pretty cool bottle. I got 2 of these. One I put in my closet and I won't drink for a long, long time. And then the other one I did crack open. I like this a ton. I've had other stuff from Good Times that's really, really good. This is my favorite so far. Hopefully you guys like it. Hopefully you guys don't think it sucks. But I've had some other stuff from them that I haven't been as fond of. This was really, really good. I actually put this up against the what's the one you got me, Brendan, a few months ago from up there in Tallahassee? It was a toasted bourbon.
It was also Good Times, wasn't it? No, it was Nulu. Sorry, it was Nulu.
Nulu.
I guess this is labels look kind of similar to me.
This was better. The Nulu Way toasted better. Bourbon, I didn't love.
Yes.
The Nulu toasted rye, I did like, but this was even better than that. So, Good Times, toasted rye. Let's jump into it. I've been yakking, so... Yakking. Do people still say yakking like for talking? Do people even still say
no? That's like throwing up.
Thank you, Eddie.
Or it's an FSU football coach Yak.
Oh. So nose.
So when I first nosed this, like I was coming in like when I say blind, I was just I was coming fresh off like no whiskey. And it smelled really citrusy, very much like a the Sazerac rye product that I was thinking like, oh man, this is like so orangey. But the more that I've sat here and kind of like smelled it and sipped it a little bit, it definitely gets more of those like toasty char notes. And it kind of moves away from citrus and gets more like marshmallow, chocolate, toast. It's really nice. Like it's a little dynamic. You know, like I said, it started out very citrusy to me and now it's a little more caramel. Marshmallow.
Toasty.
Yeah, I definitely get the toast. I get the rye that comes with it.
Yeah.
Definitely some of the spice that's on it.
You're saying it smells like a rye?
It's like double rye.
Well, sometimes we can't tell the difference between that and weed on here. So
sometimes.
That's true. I'm totally with Ben, by the way. Like I experienced it as citrus right away, but almost like floral, like a citrus tree too. Like there's like legitimately like this sweet, like honeysuckle vibe to it as well. So it's very, very pretty on the nose, but also dynamic. Is that the word you used, Ben? Did you say dynamic?
Yes.
That's a great word because it is super robust in all of like, it has this milk chocolate vibe to it. It's got this nice spicy quality that TJ alluded to. It's very depthy as well. It's a really beautiful nose and there's a ton going on in a good way.
Very complex, for sure.
Once you taste it and come back to the nose, it definitely changes.
Okay. In a good way?
Yeah. It's great. Oh.
Yeah. The milk, the toasted element is, to me, bringing out a ton of milk chocolate on it, which you normally don't get with a rye. Like, how many times have you guys had a rye and be like, there's chocolate in this? Like, no, this is really unique.
Yeah. This is a fun one. This is definitely a fun one to drink. You know, there's some bottles that you're just like, it's taxing. It's like, we'll drink it a little bit. This is just fun. Like it's it's cheerful and lively.
So why we're drinking this is to celebrate.
This is a fun one.
By making him crack open his really precious whiskey.
Well, I mean, as you can see,
it was already open.
Certainly already cracked. but yeah, I mean, I think this was going to be a really fun one for TJ month. And so you guys may have gotten a little bit of a break here by me giving by us doing it now. What's the biggest? Oh man, Ben's right. When you go back to the nose, I do get a lot of citrus. When I drink and then go back to it, I do get some of that citrus Ben was talking about.
Yeah, very much so. That's the first thing. That's kind of what popped out to me.
So this is 55% alcohol, 110 proof, obviously. So it's not like massive. Pretty good. Pretty good. Though it is barrel strength, so it's not been cut. non-chill filtered. It's hefty, but it's also not heavy.
You refreshing. Like that? Mm. Yeah, refreshing,
right. It's a little refreshing, which a lot of times toasted stuff can be pretty
overwhelming on the palate.
Overwhelming, very heavy, very dense. You think about 1910, you think about Woodford Double Oaked. Those are even lower proofs, and they sit so heavy. They're very desserty. This is a little refreshing, but you still get some of that toasted goodness at the end.
This would be a great fall whiskey.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
Ben, I was just thinking of that.
September, October.
Happy that you brought up seasons, because I was like, there's some whiskeys to me that are super quintessential. Oh, damn, I use quintessentials because trying so hard not to.
Every day.
I made it 10 minutes.
He's exquisite.
New record. So I was thinking of like what kind of whiskeys like would be ideal for like what times of year. And as I was drinking this one, the first thing I thought of was like, this would be really nice to have it a cooler time of year, or when it's cooler out, but also like the citrus on it and the chocolatey, like I think this would hold up fine. Like it's 90 degrees outside. If I were to take this outside, I don't think it would be like this weird, like too heavy and dense. Yeah. Excuse me, I combine the words. I think this would be well any time of year, but yes, yeah, just really good.
How's it finish?
Petered out. Love it. Have we talked about taste yet?
Yeah.
Huh. On notes?
You said it went to, we went to taste, didn't we? Talked about the milk chocolate.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the nose still, but I got milk chocolate on the taste as well.
What else you got on the taste? We were talking about it being refreshing.
Yeah.
As far as the taste goes, not so heavy. I'm pretty sure we talked about the taste.
Where you also, it continues like the s'mores route. And so I get chocolate, graham cracker, vanilla. Definitely, yeah, it's like a s'more. It's like a little spicy s'more, you know?
S'more in a glass.
Oh, it's more in a glass, but it's...
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Things in a glass are just ridiculous. It's overplayed.
Things in a glass is the quintessential joke on this podcast.
Yeah, they're exquisite.
That was great. That was fantastic. Anything else on the taste, Brendan, before we make fun of you some more?
Have we talked about taste yet?
No.
Finish.
What do you guys think about the...
Finish. It's going back with spice. And so it finishes with spice. Overall, it's a good characteristic, right? So let me just paint you a little picture of this drinking experience.
Can you paint light, me a Birmingham?
Yeah. Or light and citrusy on the nose. A little bit of like s'mores. The s'mores comes into, you know, prominence in the palate, right? A little bit of marshmallow and chocolate and all in there. And then it finishes rye, a little bit of spice, which makes you immediately want to be like, all right, let me just start that process over. They go back to citrus and marshmallow and then spice again, back to citrus and marshmallow. It's great. It's like this is a revolving door.
It is really good. And that's a really good way to put it, Ben. You really
agreed.
I hate to give Ben credit, and I think you guys know that. Unless this is your first episode, which if it is, great. Please hit the retweet button, hit the share button.
But in general, he hates giving credit.
I do. That's a great way to put it. Just the picture he just painted there, really good.
Birmingham.
It's distilled in Indiana. Brendan.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to top it how Ben eloquently phrased it, but it is a – I was going to say exquisite. Damn it.
Yes.
Really struggling here.
It exquisitely.
it's a dangerously great finish because it has this nice little burn. All that spice is there. And like Ben said, it just unfolds so well with the rest of the experience. This is super complex, but it all ties together really beautifully. And that spice at the end, it's like, it's just enough. Like it doesn't fight you, but it is like, challenging in a good way, so it kind of keeps you wanting to keep drinking. Again, dangerously good. This is a fantastic bottle. I'm grateful that I made TJ share it now and not during TJ month, because this probably would be big board eligible.
This would have probably won the big board competition or the month competition. How much did I pour you, Brendan?
You gave me a very generous. I mean, I poured about half of this out. You gave me the full 2 ounces, so thank you.
Wow. I must not have had any before I did that.
I had like a 3/4 of an ounce. It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, come get some more. He poured his own, though, so I don't feel bad about that.
I do. If it's something nice, I refuse to, like, really pour a heavy pour.
The lightning you're on, come sit on the back porch and watch it after this, and I'll pour you something else.
Maybe.
But not this. I'll keep drinking this. Let's rate the thing. I think we're going to be pretty high on it. As far as cost, I have no idea what this costs. So this is going to be a tough value thing. I guess we're going to have to go on the secondary.
How do you not know?
I can tell you what I paid for it. Tell you what I paid secondary for it.
Don't tell us now because Ben's going to factor it in the entire time. So let's get it unfiltered, pure.
I hate this.
Mm-hmm. Don't let Ben guess. Or no, wait, force him to guess. Yeah.
I think I know what he paid, and so it's going to... I'm assuming the worst.
He's gonna dig it all the way through. I do. Ben was gonna skew negative for
across the board.
$500.
You know, it's the most elite. It's the most elite nose I've ever had. But because most of the elite price, I'm gonna give it a 0.25.
That's how it goes. That's all how right, prices work.
Okay, who wants to go first on nose? 2 points for nose. If you're just watching, 2 points for nose, 4 for taste. One for finish, one for cohesiveness and complexity, and one for value. Brendan, start us off.
I don't know if this has ever been done before.
Oh, man.
A zero? That's cold. That's cold.
I don't think this is far-fetched. This is an elite nose. It would be in the 99th percentile. I think it might be the best nose that we've experienced in terms of just rating things on the show. Fellas, TJ, congratulations on the Milkman Baby 2.0 on the nose. It's a perfect
The Milkman Baby. Yeah. Two on a nose. Okay, Ben.
Jeez. Okay. 1.75 for me. This is definitely not a two. What are you talking about, man?
It's definitely not a two.
So far apart.
How could you ever rate it with a two?
Yeah. I mean,
man, I don't want to be a homer.
I always gonna be like at 1.5 and okay. Well, now we're going to do crazy things.
I'm going to go two. When I open this up tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Guys,
when I opened it up tonight, before I had even put my nose to it, I started to get the aroma, and it was really, really good. Two of me. It's not going to get a perfect score, I will say.
Prove it.
I did find out the MSRP on this. I also found out the secondary, which are quite different, but you get what you pay for. Taste, you get 4 points here. Ben, you can start us off.
I think this is a solid 3.25 and 3.5. So I'm gonna go 3.25 because I know Brendan's gonna be at 4. You know, it's gonna be like, never happened before. 4.25.
Did you have Ben, funny you mentioned it.
You're at a 3 point. What are you at, Ben? Sorry.
3.25.
3.25.
Not bad. Brendan.
Funny you mentioned it, Ben, because it's never been done before. No, I'm just messing with you. It's a really great taste. Honestly, the taste to me, like, I enjoy the nose and the finish more than I enjoy. And we're setting an extremely high bar here for the nose, obviously. But more than the taste, like, the taste is really, really good. I don't think it's elite when that hits the palate. I think it's really good. So I'm going to go with a 3.0. Like, it's very enjoyable. There's a depth to it. There's complexity. But yeah, I'm going to stay clear of elite territory for the taste.
TJ?
I'm going to agree with Ben here and give him a slight bump from yours. It's really, really good. 3.25 is good for me. That's what we had for the bull run that I lost. That's what we had for the Elijah Craig barrel strength.
We haven't talked about that on here.
We'll talk about it at the end of the show. That's what we had for whatever Ben month three was. So our Blue Note store pick we have as a three. So, yeah, this is better than all those, but I can't go 3.5 just yet. I was a homer on the nose, so 3.25. We'll talk about that after the review.
Okay.
I do want to review that again. Maybe we'll review that for TJ month.
you son of a gun. The bull run that we'll talk about now.
Oh. Yeah, that sucks.
How embarrassing.
It does suck.
Finish.
What's it out of?
One? This should be two. You guys are the scoring thing makes
score out of 11. For finish, I'll give it a one. Ben really hyped it. Ben talked about, I mean, the finish is super complex. There's a lot going on. Ben also talked about when Ben painted that picture and said that the finish legitimately makes you want to take another drink and start that experience all over again. I don't think we've ever described a finish as that good before. It's a solid one for me. Brendan?
Going back to the nose, by the way, it's opening up even more, like blackberries. Like, it's got berry vibe now, too. It's all over the place, but in such a pleasant way.
2.25.
Yeah, I'm ranking that up a little bit. It's going to do a 3 for the nose. No, for the finish, I'm going to go with 1, and it's a great finish. It's hard to beat. I don't know. It ties up everything so perfectly. It's a perfect proof to me. 110 to 115 is just a perfect proof. It's got the great burn to it, but not, like, again, you're not fighting it. Yeah, the finish to me is a perfect one. Ben?
0.75.
Wow. I feel like Ben's being a contrarian right now. That's what's happening.
Poe Buddy's nerfed.
Ben did describe that finish better than I've ever heard him describe anything in my entire life.
You're welcome.
Cohesiveness and complexity. Ben, you start us off here.
Cohesiveness is a difficult number to fall into because it's like not the most cohesive because it's like, like I said, very dynamic, but I don't dislike that. You know, it doesn't need to be super cohesive. It's very complex. So 0.75.
I'm going to go with a 1 here again, just based on Homer. Ben's logic. He literally said that this thing is so tied together, so well tied together that when you finish drinking it, it makes you want to start that loop back over and describe that process. So I do think that even though it's different, it is like it gels together, right? Mm-hmm. Like Kobe and Shaq, right? Like they were different players, but they were cohesive. You don't have to be, you know, cohesive does not necessarily mean similar. So it's cohesive and it's complex. Full 1 for me. Brendan?
Yeah, I'm with TJ. When I say cohesive, it does all unfold in a way that makes sense, that's pleasing, that's enjoyable. And to me, it does without a doubt. So I'm going to go with a 1 on cohesiveness and complexity.
Aspect. All right. Move me to a 1.
All right. Talked him into it.
You've convinced that I was already convinced myself. So.
Yeah, you were the one who was already into the cohesiveness. Yeah. I think Ben's just being a little contrarian right now. I get it. I don't want TJ to thrive.
I went first. How can we contrarian going first?
You knew where this was going.
Okay, so we get into the value section of this.
It's exactly the type of question a contrarian would ask. How could it be this?
Ben's at a 6.75.
Yes.
Brendan's at a 7, and I'm at a 7.25.
Yes.
So pretty good score start now.
I mean, that's almost big board worthy right off the bat without value. Yeah,
without even doing anything, a solid 7. Okay, so this bottle retails between $65 and $85.
Oh my god. Such good.
That's not it though. That's not it. This is like a store pick.
Yeah.
By the
That is what the store pick goes for. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So and here's the what I'll say. Getting this, like, you'll never get this specific bottle again unless you buy a secondary, right? Because they'll never do this run again. It's a single barrel. That said, they do these fairly often. Like I've got 4 or 5 good times. Yeah. Most of them are closer to 65, 70. In fact, I just got Brendan. Oh, no, that's a Taconic. That's a little bit different.
We've also had other bottles of Good Times, and they haven't been this good.
Correct. But getting a Good Times is not impossible by any means.
Right. Secondary?
I paid $180 for this. I had a lot more.
That's not the worst I've ever heard of.
$180. It's not the worst. It's tough. Yeah, I mean, it's almost 3 times.
You're paying 2. Yeah, well, you mean look at look at a
like a George EHT T stack.
An EHT single barrel is $65-$70, and that one's $220-$240. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's better than that.
Yeah.
At least on a price thing. Yeah. So I don't know.
I've paid more for lens, and that's true. Better.
And so, I don't know. I'd probably rate this somewhere between that, right? Because you know, it's not easy to get it at retail. It is easy to get secondary, but that's a really high price. So, I don't know. For me, I'll give a value of like 1.25. I think that's good. I mean, you get what you pay for sure, but it is very hard to find. Yeah. I mean, if we were rating this on a value of like $75, it probably would be a 2. Like, it's that close, right? 7.25 out of 8, maybe a 1.75. But I'll dock it a little bit because it's hard to find. 1.25, I do think is kind of fair. So I have a hard time saying that it's an average value.
I will.
Especially when you,
I'll be able to.
Especially when you throw in the intrinsic value, like how Ben will overrate his Blantons if we ever review it because it says Disney on it.
Yes,
I certainly do overrate this because it's got Kobe on the back.
Got Kobe on it. So let me ask you this.
It's not even officially Kobe. That could be completely different. You know, like there was 8 seasons of the show 24, and they could be going for that.
Bobby Cryant.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Ben, as we try to figure out the value here.
Yeah.
If you saw this after experiencing this, so this was our second highest ranked pre-value whiskey ever. On the show, first was Michter's Barrel Strength Rye. So elite across the board. We think this is really great before we get the price. If you saw this in the store at $180, would you add it to your collection knowing how good it is? Okay. No. All right. So that's Ben setting the precedent of
I won't.
Is there anything? There's nothing.
I bought other things at $180.
Yeah.
I was going to say, to drink or to flip?
No, to drink.
No, I just opened an expensive bottle this weekend.
That's the only one, though, right? Like, that's like there's only one that you've ever done.
Masters Keep One. We opened that like the second I got it. And that was
$180. I think it's a little bit different because it's retail, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't endorse flipping on this show.
Yeah, what is flipping? What are you flipping now? It's like whatever. Remember we tried to dance around it at the beginning?
What's flipping?
You guys are so unethical. All right, so value for me. I feel bad. Like, it's so good. I don't want to go below one, but like, so
I'm at 0.75. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just,
you know what, Ben? I'll do
Brendan.
Okay, 0.75 for me, too. Maybe feel better at it. Okay, thank you.
Just to give you a lifeboat to cling to.
I feel bad. It's such a damn good
Rose.
Whiskey.
I'm Rose on the freaking headboard, and Brandon's Jack.
Jack just
so reason. Like, oh, I can just be here.
So I guess my question would be, if you saw this posted in a group, like on a store pick, or
I'm not doing
a
it.
Store did a barrel of it, and it was $85. What's your value?
2.
Oh, okay.
And it's or at least, and we're getting to 1.5 to 2.
Yeah,
it's explicit.
Yeah, though. I'd probably be like at 1.5 at 85. But the problem is, like,
I'm with that,
I've had other bottles. I've had other good times that aren't good. And like this bottle just is never going to be available again unless you're in secondary. And most people just don't have the capacity. Like even on secondary, there's only 180, 200 bottles out there, you know, ever, you know, TJ has 1% of it just himself. So
cornering the market, monopoly, man.
Yeah. It's hard. It's going to be hard to find it. So.
And for TJ to rate this like higher for value, I don't think it's a bad, like, normally we like to give TJ crap for being a homer on his picks, but like he loves Kobe Bryant and this has a special value to him. And
yeah, you just wait till we rate Disney Blantons. This thing's gonna be a 11 out of 10.
I'm gonna give it a 20 out of 10 for value.
Yeah,
so yeah, I think that makes sense. Like, right, like Ben would rate that Blantons higher even though he hates Blantons.
Yeah,
like I asked him today. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I asked him today how was it, and he's like, "It was as good as it could be." You know,
like, yeah. It wasn't the point though. That's not the point.
But for this to be, I will say, I'm really happy that this is a good bottle. Like that, this tastes good too, because I have other bottles that I thought would be like, oh, you know, sentimental or whatever, and they suck.
Yeah,
I never drink.
Oh yeah, like, how much of a relief was it for you when you drank it and because you bought two of them too? So to open it, smell it, drink it, and be like, oh, thank God, right?
Yeah.
Blantons
taste the same.
I
had it right after the Nulu, which I, you know, kind of think sucks.
It does,
which is very craft. A lot of, I will say, Ben, you said you've had some bad good times. Most of the good times I've had are pretty good. I've got a cigar finish that's really good that I've got open right now. I've not had, none of them are as bad as the Nulu that I have. Yeah. So I will say that.
I definitely think Nulu is worse than the good times.
So anyway. Oh boy, that's terrible. All right. So final scores, Ben with a 7.5, Brendan with a 7.75, and I've got an 8.5. That is a 7.92.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You see a lot of hype on these bottles, like on Facebook whiskey groups, you know. I think it's worth it. I think the hype is pretty real.
This is a great bottle. It's a legitimately good experience. Maybe it's because I haven't had like more than one pour of bourbon in the last 2.5 weeks, but
this that could be
was,
it.
Yeah, this was really good. Thanks, TJ.
All right.
Thanks, Milkman.
Tell the people about the Bull Run.
Oh, so yeah, I had this whiskey for a while. Like, I mean, I've had it for a couple of years, and I was trying to get Ben and TJ to drink it, and I feel like there was a tentativeness for a little while, just not a whole lot of hype about it, because when you kind of describe it, it doesn't sound great. We'll get into the details of it later when we do a re-review, but anyways, they finally cracked it. They both really enjoyed it. It would have been, it was close to the good time score. It was pushing, it was in the high sevens for our score. So it was big board worthy. And then TJ being petty and just knowing that I picked out something good, something remarkable, had exquisite taste.
I could see this happening.
And he was like, oops, I accidentally deleted it when I was going through and cleaning some things up on the back end of my computer. So
that's right.
Deleted.
Yep. Saboteur.
Yeah. No, it was frustrating too, because so what ended up happening was, you know, so the software that we use to record this only lets you keep so many things recorded. So you have to go through and delete broadcasts once they once they've aired. So this is live, right? As soon as this is done airing, I could go through and delete the broadcast because it's already on YouTube, it's already on Facebook, it's already on Periscope, Twitter, whatever. I will download the audio, obviously, and put that podcast up in audio form as well. But I was just going through. We hit our 50 hours, right? 50 hours is what they allot you, and then you have to go through and delete them. And so, I mean, you think about how many podcasts it takes to get to 50 hours, right? Several of them are 20 minutes. And there's a ton. So delete, 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 delete. And then as soon as I hit that one, I knew immediately. And I just looked up. We recorded a couple extra that week because
you're going to delete one.
We recorded a couple extra that week just because we thought that we'd be having the baby. We could air it a week later. It'd be perfect. And so I kept the two that were for that week, but not the little bit older ones when I was going to delete. And I was so frustrated. I reached out to them and I was like, is there any way? I just did it. And they were like, no, sorry. Once it's gone, it's gone. So we do need to re-review it. It was really, really good. But on the bright side, we get to drink more of Brennan's good whiskey. So
I'm okay with that.
We all win here. Brendan, do you have any pursuits and purchases? Do you have anything you want to bring up? And then we were talking about something else, something that you saw that I want to kind of get into a conversation on, and then we'll get out of here.
All right. So pursuits and purchases. How's my internet right now? TJ froze up for a second. Okay. That's all good. Right. Thank God. All right. So first off, I want to give, which one do I want to go with first? All right. My buddy Chase sent this down to me. So he's part of a whiskey society up in Northern
Starlight,
Kentucky. So this is from Starlight Distillery. It's in Indiana. It's a rare distillery that is in Indiana that is not MGP. So it's a farm. I think it's Carl T. Huber's farm in Indiana. They do all sorts of finishing there with their own product. This was a SOB is the name of the whiskey society. And this was a cognac finished bourbon. So normally I don't like cognac finished products. What was that awful Blood Oath, Blood Pact, Blood Orphan that we took? It was awful. And that was cognac finish. This is a really well done cognac finish one. So shout out to Chase for sending that to me. Looking forward to getting into that a little bit more. And then also, guys, I mentioned this on our last episode that I was looking for it. It's Chattanooga Whiskey's Founder Edition. It's their 10-year anniversary. I can't believe they're 10 years old. That's kind of crazy. It's their 10-year-old whiskey. It's 100 proof. There's a special mash bill for this where there's some like chocolate malted barley in it. I cracked that about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I enjoyed a little sip of it. It's really well done. I will send you guys samples of that. So Chattanooga Whiskey, we're big fans of what they do. This is different than their normal flavor profile, but really well done. So two bottles, really happy with both of them. Very unique.
Would you say your first friend had to chase after that bottle?
No, because it was a bourbon society that they picked.
Okay, very good. Just checking. You saw something or heard about something. Sean told you something. I don't know.
No, it wasn't Sean. It was Jason. Jason Noe on his travels, which we documented before. Jason's very generous and will send, hey, text messages. Hey, guys, I see this. Are you interested? So he's currently, I guess, up in New England right now and like being blown away by some of the, I'm glad I finished that sentence, blown away by some of the prices up there. But on his, travels up there, he was at the Atlanta airport and saw 100 bottles easily of Wild Turkey's Father and Son at $80. I think this is a bottle that Ben had talked about a while ago. The issue, if it's duty-free, is you need to be traveling out of the country. So I remember seeing Blanton's like at a duty-free store in Miami about 2 years ago, like at $60, $55, whatever MSRP is for Blanton's, hundreds of them on the shelf. And it's super frustrating when you don't have an international ticket to see this amazing bourbon at really great prices. So that created a pondering of a question that TJ started thinking of.
Yeah. So I wonder, could you fly somewhere internationally or just buy a ticket from, you know, somewhere kind of internationally for cheap? Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
out of Atlanta.
Yeah. In this case, it'd have to be out of Atlanta.
Right.
So how much, how much money would it be worth, would have to be to be like,
well,
you
I
have
guess
to already be going somewhere.
Yeah, I think I already have to be going somewhere. If it was Miami, so cheap, right? Miami is so cheap to fly internationally. But, you know, you look at Atlanta to Cuba, right? Flights are $400, you know? That's in July. So that's like a couple months from now. And so, like, they'd probably all be sold out by then anyway.
Yeah.
An average round trip price is $340. A really good price for Atlanta to Cuba would be like $340. So I don't know. I guess cheapflights.com has an Atlanta to Havana for they don't even have any providers that fly that. Never mind. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a really good way to do it. I do wonder, you know how you can cancel a Southwest. How early can you get to a gate with a ticket?
Usually 24 hours. It's not a gate. It'd be through security.
Through security, right.
What about getting someone to buy it for you? Just keep
someone else who's traveling internationally?
Or just be like, hey, traveling internationally, will you buy this for me? If someone's already in the duty-free shop or like right outside of it, I'm sure that's illegal. But, you know.
Is it illegal?
I can't imagine that it's illegal to have someone buy alcohol for you and then give it to you.
I think it's about enforcement, though. Like, who's enforcing that, I guess,
that's
right?
True, yeah. I'm saying that's probably your best bet, though. If it's something you really wanted, you'd probably be assertive and ask someone, and someone would eventually probably do it for you. Heck, like, if it's a bottle of Blanton's, like, at $65, like, if it's something you really wanted, like, buy it for the other person, too. I guess that's kind of – never mind. Don't give me that face, Ben. That was a bad take. I redacted.
Redacted.
Just take it back.
Retracted.
And redacted.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. If it was like a Pappy, it'd be worth it. Like, you just buy a ticket right there internationally.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
$500. But for Father and Sons, that'd be a cool bottle. Ben and I both had sons. We've talked about wanting that bottle.
Yeah.
Not for the price that it is secondary, but if I saw for $80, I'd buy it. Like, I'd
definitely.
That'd be a cool bottle to have.
Yeah.
I don't, not a great way to do it. You'd have to be going somewhere. If it was Miami, you could buy a $100 flight to Cuba in Miami. I feel like $200, right? And then it's not so bad. Maybe you buy a couple of them, flip one or two, make your money back from the flight. Don't feel so bad about it. Otherwise, I don't think it's a great way to do it. I don't think that's great. It's my take.
All right. It's a good take. Better than mine.
You're trying to get us arrested, so that sounds like a bad idea. One more week. We'll figure out something to review next week, and then June starts TJ month. Thank you guys for hanging out tonight as we reviewed Good Times Rye, the greatest thing we've ever reviewed. Ben and Brendan were just idiots. Interact with us on social media. We certainly do appreciate it. Rate, review, subscribe on all these platforms, iTunes, all this stuff. That was awful chat, Brendan. We will be back next week to review something else. Cheers.